Thank you, Mr. President. Dear ladies and gentlemen, distinguished colleagues, Your Excellencies, this is a moment of truth, a historic moment not only for Ukraine, a historic moment not only for Europe, a historic moment for the entire democratic world. And the way we answer to the Russian aggression today, the way we answer to Russian atrocities and crimes, the way we answer to the aggression as a tool of statescraft will define not only the future of Ukraine, will define not only the future of Europe, it will define our common future, the future of the entire democratic world and the future of the UN. Are we ready to abide by the UN Charter? Are we ready to protect sovereignty and territorial integrity of states? Are we ready to abide by the principle of inviolability of borders and non-use of force? Mr. President, today marks 3 years from the full-scale invasion by the Russian Federation, 3 years of Ukraine's resistance, 3 years of Ukraine's preservation, 3 years of Ukraine's fight and heroism. But let me recall that the war started 11 years ago in 2014. 11 years ago, Ukraine faced one of the most dramatic and challenging periods in its modern history. While resisting the attempt to impose dictatorship, Ukrainians demonstrated dignity and defended their choice for the democratic future in the family of European countries. While the sovereign choice of Ukrainians posed no real threat to Russia, the Kremlin perceived it as a threat to the imperial and non-colonial ambitions. In Kremlin's world, Ukraine was relegated to the role of a Russian satellite within its sphere of influence. For Russia, a military solution to this imagined threat was always an option. Disinformation, economic warfare, subversive activities, all of these laid the groundwork for the subsequent Russian aggression against Ukraine. And immediately after the victory of the Revolution of Dignity in Ukraine, Russia started its occupation of Autonomous Republic of Crimea and some parts of Donetsk and Lugansk regions. Weak international response to Russia's attacks on Crimea, Donetsk, and Luhansk back then led to a full-scale military invasion of my country from the north, east, and south 3 years ago. Russia has plunged the entire world into yet another war, a war totally unprovoked, unjustified, and unlawful, driven solely by morbid geopolitical delusions of the past, and yet the bloodiest war in Europe after the Second World War. And all of us became the targets. Ukraine and Ukrainians, because Russia denies our every right to exist. The world has become a target because Russian missiles do not only strike Ukraine, they also shatter the global security architecture, which 3 years into this invasion remains riddled with gaping holes, much like the country's countless residential buildings destroyed across Ukraine. The United Nations is under attack because Russia attacked every foundation of the UN Charter, blatantly violated the UN Charter and the core principles enshrined in it. Russia wants to replace the world based on international law to the world based on the rule of force. And finally, Russia attacked humanity. Humanity itself is under attack. An unsurprising reality, given that Russia has made medieval cruelty a hallmark of its military strategy against a peaceful neighbor and blackmails everyone with its nuclear weapons. Excellencies, Russia believed Ukraine would surrender. Russia believed Kyiv would fall in 3 days. Russia believed our government would flee. However, Russia miscalculated gravely. 11 years, Ukraine stands firmly and resists. The myth of Russia's military invincibility has been shattered. What was once seen as an unstoppable force has been met with resilience, courage, and determination reinforced by the unwavering support of the free world. Your solidarity has demonstrated that unity and principles of the UN Charter are stronger than aggression and lawlessness. I want to reiterate our profound gratitude to over 140 member states that have stood with us, including those who have supported relevant resolutions in this hall, to those who provided military aid to Ukraine, to those who provided humanitarian assistance to Ukraine, to those who received our temporary displaced persons, to those who help and continue to help bring our deported children back home, our prisoners of war bring home, and our illegally detained civilians to bring them home, to those who have contributed to the implementation of our Grain from Ukraine initiative, a practical effort to mitigate global food security threats stemming from this war. This war has never been about Ukraine only. It is about a fundamental right of any nation to exist, to choose its own path, and to live free from aggression. If aggression is justified and a victim is blamed for its resilience and will to survive, then no country is safe. Today, Ukraine fights not only for its own independence, but for a world of nations that are not divided into predators and prey, where no zones of conflict, of influence, sorry, and gray zones exist. We're fighting for a world which cannot be divided by any another Molotov-Ribbentrop pact. We stand up for the world where the future of a nation cannot be determined by another Yalta conference. Mr. President, 3 years of Russia's full-scale invasion against Ukraine have made it clear that we are dealing with a protected, high-intensity war with extreme levels of casualties and spillover effect rippled across different areas and continents. Let me stress once again that the UN were formed after the Second World War to prevent future wars and maintain international peace and security. Against the backdrop of ongoing and upcoming peace efforts, the General Assembly should take a pivotal role in determining the basis for the just and last peace in Ukraine and in Europe, as well as its standing for sovereignty of all states. A clear message that the vision of comprehensive, just, and lasting peace, consistent with the UN Charter that we endorsed in this hall 2 years ago, remains valid and must be implemented without delay already this year. However, reducing the Assembly's position to merely stating that this desire is not enough. We need to reconfirm that the aggression should be condemned and discredited, not rewarded. Our position must include substantive elements and ensure that any future peace initiatives aligns with the principles of the UN Charter. This is the rationale behind the draft resolution that I have the honor to introduce today on behalf of the broad group of co-sponsors. My delegation moves that, after hearing the introduction of all the L documents, the Assembly immediately proceed to the consideration of our draft resolution A/ES 11/L10 on the understanding that the debate would resume immediately after action on the draft resolution and that the 11th emergency session would be only temporarily adjourned after the conclusion of the debate. We need clear guidance, not just silence, weapons, temporality, no just ceasefire, but to achieve a solution which is just, comprehensive, and sustainable. A solution that guarantees that there will be no repetition of what happened 3 years ago on February 24, 2022, neither in Ukraine nor elsewhere. For us, for Ukraine, the path is clear. The only way, as our President Volodymyr Zelensky has stated, to ensure comprehensive, just, and lasting peace is to reaffirm our commitment to the UN Charter and to agree that the principles enshrined in it, the principle of sovereignty and the principle of territorial integrity of states within its internationally recognized borders, must serve as the foundation. By adopting the draft, the General Assembly will also address the global impact of war and outline the areas where this impact has been particularly detrimental and where the engagement of all responsible nations would be crucial. In particular, there are global food security, energy security, the global economy, nuclear security and safety, and the environment, justice and accountability. As we mark 3 years of this devastating Russia's full invasion against Ukraine, we call on all nations to stand firm and to take the side of the Charter, the side of the humanity, and the side of just and lasting peace. Peace through strength, as the aggressor would never stop while seeing weakness. Excellencies, Ukraine's commitment to the UN Charter's principle traces back to the first day of our organization. Now it may seem to be symbolic that it was a representative of Ukraine who chaired 80 years ago the committee responsible for drafting the preamble, purposes, and principles of the future charter at the UN Conference on International Organization in San Francisco in 1945. Unfortunately, we haven't yet reached the point where principles enshrined in the UN Charter are respected by all member states, and the Article 51 of the Charter is just a matter of history. Definitely not, as my country has been compelled to exercise its inherent right to self-defense under the above-mentioned Article 51 following unprovoked, mean, brutal, genocidal war. While persisting in defending our country until the threat is over, we strive for peace. Peace that will give the world another chance to live according to the rules. When all nations, regardless of the size of geography, will equally enjoy their sovereign rights rather than depend upon the mercy of more powerful. This is the spirit that should guide us during the vote on the draft resolution, advancing a comprehensive, just, and lasting peace in Ukraine. I'm confirmed that it will be a vote for peace for the UN Charter and for each member state. I urge you to vote in favor of Ukraine's draft resolution. Thank you so much.